All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. We have a lot of fun things in store for you today. As a matter of fact, one of those things is we're going to be visiting one of Kentucky's African-American cemeteries that holds one of only four monuments like it in the world. We are going to be answering some listener emails, more information about our pending contest, some information about a cemetery that houses an alleged haunted member of abolitionists. Also, we're going to be featuring one of the most visited tombs in all of America. We are going to be featuring another Medal of Honor soldier, and that and so much more. So be sure to stick around for this episode of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast. There are several things I need to get to, and this is kind of interesting. First off, I would like to thank everybody for joining me. I would also like to let you know if things sound a little different this week. Well, they actually should, because I am now trying my third recording style in as many weeks. I'm using a different piece of equipment. As I mentioned to you last week, we are changing some of the equipment that we have, and slowly but surely it is changing the way I do things. Also, several people have messaged us and emailed this week asking about the video for week five. Once again, that is because of the recording system that we use. We no longer have access to how we were mixing videos before, and we're changing it, and the videos aren't good enough to be released. So I will let you know that I'm going to address listener emails, which coincidentally will answer part of what I was going to address with this. We have an email from Dale in Rockcastle, Kentucky, and he said, is there somewhere online that I can go to see some of the places or people that you guys are talking about? Okay, back to that point. We are going to be changing the video format, and I'm not certain there'll be a video for this episode, but what we are going to do is add an album. Much like the videos that you see are usually just a culmination of pictures that we shot on those adventures, we are just going to put those albums up. So if you go to the Facebook page for the Cemetery Podcast, that's just facebook.com/cemetery-podcast, you will be able to go, and we will have an album called Episode 5 or Episode 6, and you can look right at the pictures that will be there. So in the event that they don't make it to a video format, you will at least be able to look at the pictures and follow along with some of the broadcast. Okay, we also have another one here. This was from Derek in Flint, Michigan, and he said, how in last week's episode were you able to get into the Rosa Parks Chapel? Well, let me just say this, Derek. It's not necessarily, I don't know what really the rules of it are. I've been told by a lot of people that it's not, you're not able to get in there unless you set up an appointment or what have you. But there is the door in the front. And I just went around to the back door, and the back door was open. But I actually do that at most chapels I go to, so I didn't think nothing different when I went to the Rosa Parks Chapel. That being said, that was all we did, was went to the back door. And sometimes the back door is open, sometimes it's not. Okay, that was the emails that we had. I also wanted to let you guys know, we're going to try something this week, so you can, you know, most of you know that the Necrotourist, we are who is doing the podcast, and we're going to do something this week that we're going to hopefully bring Cemetery Saturday Night to life. So we were hoping that you guys will be able to join us this week. Hopefully you can find more details on the Necrotourist Facebook page, but we are intending to go live Saturday nights and discuss a cemetery that many of us have visited, and maybe you haven't, and you'd just like to talk to us about questions or things that we've done along the way.
Would you like to get your email answered? Well, it's simple. All you need to do is email the Necrotourist at thenecrotourist@thefuneralsource.org.
I would like to invite you all to check out a friend of mine, Tracy Rylands, who does an amazing website called Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. She has visited around the country, dozens of states, and she writes extensive articles and does photography as well. Be sure again to check out her website at adventuresincemeteryhopping.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today's feature cemetery is going to be one that I've encountered actually three times. The first time I was there, we were attending the funeral of a governor, Kentucky Governor Wendell Ford. And while we were there, it was the middle of winter, it was very cold. And on the way to the state house, we made a pit stop at the big cemetery in town. And we decided, while we were on our way there, we saw a Commonwealth history sign, you know, the kind you normally see, historical markers. And it had mentioned the cemetery. Now, as I told you, we were on our way to the cemetery or to the funeral, and we didn't have time. I shot a few photos from the road, and we actually like drove up to the entrance and I shot a few snow photos, and that was it. Another time I was there, I made a quick pit stop with Senior Bull, my other traveling partner. He and I were only there for a few moments, but most recently we stopped there with Charlotte Graves, and while we were there, we had time to spread out and actually check this cemetery out. Now, I want you to know the cemetery I am talking about is the Green Hill Cemetery in Frankfort, Kentucky. It is located literally right up the street from the large cemetery, but this is an African American cemetery. It is part of the African American Civil War Heritage Trail. It's a very interesting place. It is a completely black cemetery, but one of the reasons it is notoriously known, well, let me tell you a few other things about it. It was established in 1865. There is the older section on one portion, and right across the street there is a newer section where they are doing, you know, more granite graves, things of that nature, some of the newer ones. But the older cemetery, it doesn't have a lot of spaces that are available simply because there are quite a few burials of people who are unknown. As a matter of fact, in 2016, they put a memorial up commemorating the people who had unidentified graves. So you can actually see that while you're there. There are several other things you can see. There are one of the historical markers that is there for all the people who have done work over the years. I tell you, people, there's amazing amount of veterans at this cemetery from all wars, World War I, World War II, obviously the Civil War. And the thing that is most amazing about this place is the fact that it has something that there are only four monuments like this in the country, and they are dedicated to the African American troops that fought in the Civil War. It is a prominent feature right in the cemetery. It is a 10-foot tall limestone pillar that has the names of all 142 members of Kentucky's United States Colored Troops, the USCT that was there based out of Frankfort, and the surrounding counties that were right there in central Kentucky. And those guys did serve in the Civil War. That alone, there's a historical plaque, you know, the typical kind that you see that has columns of information and history and even some of the photos of the guys that actually fought in the war. I've also, one of the things that I thought was cool, they also had these marking signs about QR codes so you can find out additional information about the artistry of that and other portions of the cemetery. The one thing I thought was interesting is there was a lot of graves from people who were slaves. One that stands out is Alice Samuels, and it literally says on her grave when she died in 1953 that she was born a slave. That's all it says on her grave. Alice Samuels, her death date, and it says born a slave. So it's a really interesting piece of history. If you get a chance to visit it, especially while you're in the Frankfurt area. As a matter of fact, you know, if you're visiting the Frankfurt Cemetery right down the street, there is zero reason for you not to at least spend 30 minutes to 60 minutes of your time making a pit stop at what is one of my favorite black cemeteries that I've visited in all my times of necrotourism. Today's Medal of Honor Minute goes to Sergeant Clinton Greaves. He was born in 1855 and he died in August of 1906. He was a Buffalo soldier who served in the 9th Cavalry Regiment and he fought during the American Indian Wars. His years of service were from 1872 to 1883. He was awarded his Medal of Honor on June 26, 1879, and his citation reads, "While part of a small detachment to persuade a band of renegade Apache Indians to surrender, his group was surrounded. Corporal Greaves, in the center of the savage hand-to-hand fighting, managed to shoot and bash a gap through the swarming Apaches, permitting his companions to break free." Greaves was a career soldier in the Army who settled in the Columbus, Ohio area. He is buried at the Green Lawn Cemetery in Columbus, Ohio, in Franklin County. All right, ladies and gentlemen, in this segment we are going to be discussing a historical, yet many believe to be haunted cemetery that is located in Hamilton County, Ohio. And it is actually in one of the suburbs of Cincinnati, known as Delhi. Now, this cemetery is none other than the Darby Lee Cemetery. And it is the only known remaining family cemetery in Delhi. As a matter of fact, it is one of the oldest cemeteries in the township. Also, it's rather tricky to find, so if you don't know where it is, it's best to get some local advice and or possibly usually around the Halloween season, the Delhi Historical Society gives tours to the four older cemeteries that are in the Delhi area, so that's always a good time to take advantage of that. But let me give you a little background on this. It's named the Darby Lee Cemetery, as I said. One of the first people, and the gentleman that gives it its name, is none other than Revolutionary War veteran Peter Lee. He originally claimed his land as one of the volunteers from the Revolutionary War. You may not know, but a lot of veterans from the Revolutionary War were awarded property, and Mr. Lee was one of the settlers in South Bend. He actually settled here March 12th of 1790, making his family actually among the very first that ever lived in the Delhi area. Now, also located in the cemetery is his wife Ruth, who died in 1819. She is actually the earliest burial in the Darby Lee Cemetery. Now, also in the cemetery is Henry Darby. He was actually an owner of an inn that was located on River Road, which is one of the significant Route 50 that runs through Hamilton County along the Ohio River. That's where his inn was, and he was actually a friend of President William Henry Harrison, who was from the neighboring area of North Bend. Also buried there was Darby, who was known to be associated with the Underground Railroad, which I'll tell you more about in a moment. Also, his wife Margaret and four of his children are buried in that cemetery. His daughter, Margaret Mayhew, was the last known burial in 1909. Many Delhi residents recognize the name Mayhew as one of the streets in town. Now, I'm going to bring the story into you, two particular stories about this place that are haunted. Okay, first off, there was a guy that used to claim that the spirit of Prophet, and Prophet was Chief Tecumseh. It was allegedly his brother. Supposedly he roamed the area, but actually it was admitted later that that was just a piece of fictional work that was done by a local author. So that story has been blown out of the water. However, the one haunting that remains true and sticks by is the Fiddler's Green. That's right, the legend of the Fiddler's Green. And let me explain to you what the reasoning behind this is. Supposedly, that during the time of the abolitionist, Mr. Darby was a well-known associate of many of the Cincinnati area abolitionists. As a matter of fact, the Cincinnati area is well known for some of the abolitionists we have. And again, Darby was one of those guys, Henry Darby. So one of the things he used to do, because if you're unaware of the geography of this place, it sits high atop a hill. So in the old days, before there was industries and other things, you could see all the way across the river from the top of the hill. Now, they say that Mr. Darby would light a lantern that was green. I don't know if they just covered it in green glass. I assume that's how it happened. But when it was safe to cross the river at night from Kentucky into Ohio, Mr. Darby was known to light the green lantern and play his fiddle. Yes, he played his violin. Now, that was an actual thing that happened in his real life, and it's known as the Fiddler's Green. But supposedly when Mr. Darby died, on many silent and cold nights around that area of Delhi, they say that you can see the green light and hear the eerie, haunting sounds of Mr. Darby's fiddle to this day. Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I've been to the Darby Lee Cemetery now 5 times. I've been there in the day. I've been there at night. I've heard no fiddle, and I've seen no light. And just like many of the other haunted locations we've been to, you may have seen something. You may have experienced something. I certainly haven't, and I'm still looking for proof. But that doesn't discourage you from visiting one of the oldest cemeteries on the west side of Cincinnati, and that is the Darby Lee Cemetery.
Hey, NERCAR travelers, do you have a good idea for a show, or do you want to be a podcaster? It's really simple, and all you got to do is go to anchor.fm. Download the free Anchor app, or go to anchor.fm to get started today. You could be the next podcast star.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, welcome back to the show. Now, two things happen every February, which, of course, it is Black History Month all month. And throughout February, we have featured African-American cemeteries, monuments, and famous graves. But one of the other things that happens in February is President's Day. So as a result, the feature monument of this week is going to be none other than Lincoln's Monument, or Lincoln's Tomb. It is actually located in Springfield, Illinois, in Sangamon County. It is the final resting place of the 16th president himself, none other than Abraham Lincoln. Also, it contains his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, and 3 of their 4 sons, Edward, William, and Thomas. Now, it's actually located at the Oak Ridge Cemetery in Springfield. It is a separate area, though it's actually part of it. It's actually 12 acres, and it became a National Historic Landmark in 1960, and then it was added to the National Registry of Historic Places in 1966. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been there, it's quite an impressive building. It is actually constructed of granite. The tomb itself is like a single-story rectangular-based building. And on top is mounted a 117-foot obelisk. Now, there is rumors and stories that they say one of the reasons that it is that height is because it purposely was meant to be higher than another grave, which actually belonged to Henry Clay. That's another story for another time. However, when you go inside the tomb, there is a semicircular receiving room in the entrance area. And there is also, on the opposite side, there is a semicircular crypt and burial room. Now, you can go either way, but there's lots of statues inside. As a matter of fact, there's six statues of Lincoln inside the tomb, and some are quite impressive, like the one with the horse and such. And also outside, well, inside, you actually will see the president's tomb, which is actually a large granite box. It's red granite, has like gold letters on it, and it's usually, when you attend it, depending upon what time of day you go, there's actually tour guides and people that'll be speaking and telling you some of the details of what goes on there. There's tours at this place all the time. However, when you get outside, when you're on your way in, you will see that there's a variety of statues that are up around the tall obelisk. Well, actually, one of the statues is done by Borglum, actually the guy that did the Mount Rushmore Lincoln head. Also, Larkin Mead is an architect and sculptor who was involved in that as well. But there is the big giant Lincoln head in the front. And as you will notice, the head itself is dark, but the nose is very shiny, because people that go into the monument are known to rub the nose for luck. So you will see that the nose is way shiny and the rest of it is really dark. You know, it's really one of those things that you need to put on your bucket list. The cemetery itself is certainly worthy of visiting, where you will find lots of other famous people. But visiting President Lincoln's monument is something you need to do. In 2019, 7.8 million visitors went there. Maybe you need to put that on your bucket list to make sure one of the monuments you visit is actually the entombed location of President Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the announcement for the contest. If you are trying to win our Sugar Skull t-shirt, then this is what you need to do. Go to the Facebook page for the Cemetery Podcast, which is facebook.com/cemetery-podcast. Like the page. Then go down to the photos and you will find the picture of the Crazy Horse Memorial. When you do, like the picture, and in the comments section, tag yourself. If you tag yourself in the photo and like the page, you are then entered for the contest. We will be drawing for the contest winner at the end of February. You can be a winner with the Cemetery Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are going to do another dive into the travelogue of the Necrotourist and tell you about an adventure that we had. And this one is the adventure of the Skillman Cemetery. Now, mind you, if you are an experienced cemetery hunter, some of the things you're going to hear during this story, you may be aware of, but I'm going to tell you possibly in ways that you're not aware of. And if you're new to the game, the things I'm going to share with you definitely need to be taken into consideration. Now, in 2015, the Necrotourist was kind of born as a side project from our original website, which is the Funeral Source. That being said, as things started to focus more towards cemeteries versus funerals, and we began to learn some things, we had two objectives in the early days. Number one, we were wanting to acquire all the presidents that we were able to do, and so far we're better than halfway there. And we also wanted to visit every cemetery that was in our home county. Now, we are based in Cincinnati, Ohio, and that is Hamilton County. Hamilton County has approximately 120 cemeteries. We have found approximately 110, I believe, on my last count. And we know where most of the ones are that we haven't visited. And then there's about three more out there that we haven't been able to find out even where they are, where, what happened, where they moved. Did industry take them over? Who knows? Because as we all know, when it comes to industry, the dead don't matter. That being said, we were looking for a cemetery that was known as the Skillman Cemetery. Now, it is located in the neighborhood of Woodlawn. For those who are in the tri-state, you know where Woodlawn is. For those that are not, it's just one of the neighboring communities just on the edge of the city of Cincinnati. But they do have their own police department, and they're their own community and government and such. Again, a suburb of Cincinnati. So while we're looking for Skillman, we couldn't find any modern information on it. So, like a lot of us do, we referred to the county recorder's office, and we got the WPA maps. For those of you that don't know, in the 1930s, the WPA project, they went around and found all the grave sites where veterans were and such. So they did good mapping of the cemeteries around the country. Remember what I just said, the 1930s. Those maps, while are very helpful tools, they are incredibly out of date. Very specifically here in the Cincinnati area, there are streets that are listed on these maps that don't exist. The names of these streets have changed 2 and 3 times. Very distinctly, if you know the Galbraith Road, it is on the maps, it's known as Van Zandt. It's so long ago. So you need to keep this in mind. Anytime that you're referring to the WPA maps, they may be close, but they're not accurate. Just like I always say about Find a Grave, it's not the source, it's a source. The WPA maps are a good source, but they're not the source. So, I'm using the WPA maps, and I pinpoint the location of where this cemetery is going to be in the community of Woodlawn. We proceed to drive to the location, and when we get there, I can see we're kind of in an industrial park area, you know, a lot of businesses, warehouse type of environment. And I am all over looking for this, and I'm getting really upset because, you know, a lot of times if the WPA maps are accurate, they'll tell you that the cemetery starts so many hundreds of feet from this intersection and such. So I'm in this area, but if you also know when you're looking for cemeteries, sometimes you'll just find a little patch of woods that'll be in the middle of a business area, and that's where that cemetery is. We know it happens all the time. You know, anything that's enough to be enough to house two graves can sometimes be found in an industrial area. So I am out of the car, I'm looking around, I can't find it, anything. All of a sudden, a cop rolls up. And you sometimes know how that goes. You don't want to encounter a police officer, but then again, you know, I understand the community officer sees you rolling around inside an industrial area. You look a little weird traipsing around in the woods. I can understand the suspicion and curiosity. However, when it happened, the Woodlawn officer approached. I walked up to him and I said, you know, hey, officer, and I handed him one of my cards. Now, you know, I know a lot of people do this hobby or for fun. This is actually my occupation. So I did have a card handy, and I was able to hand it to the officer, and he asked me what I was doing. And I proceeded to tell him, officer, you know, I'm looking for this cemetery. It's one of the oldest cemeteries in the Cincinnati area. And according to the maps, it says it's here. And lo and behold, the officer said, hey, I know exactly what you're talking about. He said, on the other side of this other business over here, he goes, there's this little tiny cemetery. He goes, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's at the edge of the parking lot. And he goes, there's only like 5 or 6 graves there. At this point, I am excited because I'm thinking, wow, here I'm getting actually frustrated because I'm in this area at this point for probably nearly 30 minutes looking at every little cubby hole that I can find. But the Woodlawn officer, not only does he tell me where it is, he actually leads us over there. First off, kudos to the Woodlawn Police Department for participating with me and helping me and understanding what the mission of the necrotourist and other historians and cemetery experts like us are doing. So, as I said, he agreed to lead us to the place. He took us over there. We got out. And now, I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I was happy and also sad when I saw this. It was approximately two businesses back deep inside this parking lot. It was behind like a trucking company. There were semis parked all around it. It was back in the corner. It had a, when I got out of the car to examine it, it had a small fence around it. And there was a sad little sign dated back to 2010. And it had mentioned that it was, had it been rehabbed by Andy Piotrowski from Troop 417. And on the sign, it had mentioned that the cemetery was established in 1812. And it no longer took burials after 1879 because it was the Skillman family cemetery. But located inside was the grave of Revolutionary War vet Jacob Skillman, who died in 1821. So evidently, he's another one of those Revolutionary War vets who claimed property in the area. However, the little sign that was there, it was dilapidated, it was falling down, the little cemetery was overgrown, and this was done in 2010. I was there just 5 years later, and while I was there, there was a couple of tablets. One you could see that he evidently had tried to fix in the 2010 repair. There was one small 5-foot marble obelisk, a couple other tablets that were broken, a few footstones, and just an overgrown cemetery. I was happy that we found the location. When I saw it, I was sad because it was really one of the first places during our actual first year of cemetery hunting where I got to see a cemetery that I felt should have been respected but was completely disrespected, especially right there in the bed of industrial areas where people are making millions of dollars every day. You think someone could give Mr. Skillman a little bit of respect? How about maybe the businesses that are surrounding him? So, I guess in conclusion, I would like to say about the Skillman Cemetery and impart these things to you. Number one, if you are looking for a cemetery that you cannot find, it may behoove you to check with the local police department because quite often police officers know about nooks and crannies of places that you may not have seen. I have other stories I'll share with you in the future about how I was helped out by the Louisville police in a very similar situation. It also made me aware that something needs to be done about preserving cemeteries. And that's something more we will discuss in the future on this program. All right, everybody, I'd like to thank you for joining me for this week's show. I hope you had fun. I hope you learned a little bit. I'd like to thank you all for listening. I'd like to thank you all for joining us on the website. Don't forget, you can join us on thenecrotourist.com, or you can go to the Facebook pages of The Necrotourist or at the Cemetery Podcast, either or. Don't forget, you can follow along, and the albums that you'll be able to follow, that you'll be able to find on the Facebook page of the Cemetery Podcast. I want again want to thank Senior Bull, Charlotte Graves, Ray Morales, and everybody who's enjoyed it. So, on behalf of the Necrotourist and the Cemetery Podcast, this is Ken Nagley saying, until next time, I'll see you in the yard.